One of the soldiers with a spear opened his side, and immediately there came out blood and water. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These days each year, we honor our country and our church, Independence Day, the feast, the octave of Saints Peter and Paul. This year we have the shrine and the sanctuary, our country's flag next to our country's patroness, Mary Immaculate, in order to remind us of our duty of prayer, of grateful prayer, for the many blessings still ours as Americans, that we should love our country, that is to say, our land, and that we should love the liberty that Almighty God gives us in order still to carry out our Catholic way of life, even as we pray for this country, for its conversion. And as Catholics, too, we remember that we are Roman Catholics, and proudly so. And we pledge our love and our loyalty to the Church, not the one of the Revolution, but the true Catholic Church. And we pray for its return and its restoration. A week ago, the masters of the new church released from the Vatican yet another interview, his ninth, which Pope Bergoglio gave. I think interviews are his favorite medium. His predecessors, the other modernists, were great intellectuals, and they carefully crafted each word of each speech or papal document in order both to, as modernists will, both to reveal and to conceal the revolutionary agenda which is theirs. But this man, for being a Jesuit, they say he's not really all that intellectual or intelligent, but he is crafty, crafty. He prefers the off-the-cuff comment to catch the adoring world's approving attention, and then to communicate his latest heresy. Well, this time, the happy Argentinian got himself into trouble. A lady journalist was interviewing him, and she wanted to know about why women didn't have positions of power in the church. "Don't you see a certain misogyny?" she pressed him. Francis replied, "The fact is, woman was taken from a rib." And here he laughed heartily. "I'm kidding," he said. "It's just a joke." But his lady interviewer did not laugh, and for once the world was not pleased. The liberals and the libbers cried out, "Blasphemy." And so do we. We agree with them for once. Blasphemy for them against the absolute and unmodified equality of the sexes in all things. That is a dogma, unassailable. Even as the Genesis account of Eve's creation from Adam's rib is just a myth. One internet commentator said, they would prefer to believe that the first woman came from a monkey rather than a man. This is, let me read to you what Bergoglio calls a joke. It is from the second chapter of Genesis. "Then the Lord God cast a deep sleep upon Adam, and when he was fast asleep, he took one of his ribs and filled up flesh for it. And the Lord God built the rib which he took from Adam into a woman and brought her to Adam. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Wherefore a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be two in one flesh.'" To make fun of sacred scripture, to make it just a joke, is to offend Almighty God by the mortal sin of blasphemy. But see what this modernist is up to here. It's not a direct, clear, simple denial. No, it is, as the Australians say, just jokes. Just jokes. And then he moves on to evolution and the evolution of morals, matrimony in particular, and more. Now, we Catholics believe the words of Genesis. Indeed, a true pope, St. Pius X, about 100 years ago, already condemned Bergoglio and his ilk ahead of time. He excommunicated all of those who would deny or doubt these words of sacred scripture read in Genesis. Eve is taken from Adam, but he recognizes in her his same human nature. As Bishop Sheen once so memorably said, Eve is taken not from Adam's head that she should tower over him, nor from his feet that she should cower under him, but from his side to stand next to him as his helpmate. At the same time, that the manner of Eve's formation is designed to teach us that the church teaches this, that the husband, the father, is the natural and the divinely instituted head of the family, to whom all the other members of the family are subordinate. Why? Because order, good order, requires a central authority in every society. The Novus Ordo, the modern world, has long ago abolished this good order in the name of revolution and has reduced it to a joke. But what about you? What about for you and for your house? Where do you stand? Now, the indissolubility of marriage is under attack today, not only by Obama, the Supreme Court, but by Bergoglio and his College of Cardinals, who are looking for a pastoral solution to modern problems. But marriage is a divine institution. It is not a problem. It is a contract between one man and one woman lasting until death. We see that in these words of Moses from Genesis. And these words were made quite plain by our blessed Savior, who quotes them in Matthew's Gospel. They are not two, but one flesh. And then he adds these words, you will remember from your wedding day. Therefore, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Do you know how much weight the holy institution, the sacrament of matrimony, must bear? That husbands and wives must show forth, stand for, live, illustrate, show the world, and prove the mystery of Christ and his church, of love which is joined with a holy fear which would never offend, not on purpose. Thus St. Paul, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. And so let wives fear their husbands as not ever to offend their authority, which is holy. That would be unthinkable. These are truths which concern not only each married couple, each family and children, and indeed all of society, but also that of which marriage is the sign, the sacrament, says St. Paul, to the outside world. I mean the mystery of Christ and his church and his plan for our salvation. It starts with, always with, a man and a woman, since Adam and Eve, culminating in Christ the God-man at Calvary, Christ, the new Adam, and the church, the new Eve, mother of the living. Eve's creation from Adam's rib, this is why this is so crucial, is a type of foreshadowing of the creation of the Catholic Church from the opened side of the Savior on the cross in his blood. The church teaches that God put Adam into a deep sleep in order to foreshadow our Lord's death on the cross. And while he was asleep, God told Adam what he was doing and why, and how that one day his wife would be the true Eve, the symbol of our Lord's love for his church in water and in blood from Christ's pierced side, his open heart. The church is not just some human organization, a club, a denomination, a movement. It is something divine in its origin, which, as Pope Pius XII teaches in his great encyclical on the church, could never teach false doctrine and is enabled to rule souls for their salvation. See the profound purpose of Pope Bergoglio's little attempt at humor. Just as he denies the literal truth of Eve's creation from Adam, his side, so too he denies that the Catholic Church, the new Eve, the new and eternal covenant in Christ's blood, has replaced the Old Testament, the synagogue, which Pius XII called once, but a bearer of death, holding, as they all do, the modernists, the heresy that the Jews of today are God's chosen people forever, and that the old covenant is valid for them, and they have no need to convert. Where is the charity there? These are sad realities, aren't they? But holy things for us to hold on to. They're not jokes. Consider the sublimity of it. It starts with matrimony in a garden and culminates at Calvary's summit with a garden close by. And there, from Christ's side, Chrysostom says, St. John says, he quotes him, the church is born from baptism, from the Holy Eucharist, since the symbols of these two sacraments flowed out from our Lord's side, it was from thence that Christ fashioned his church as once he had fashioned Eve from the side of Adam. Let St. John Chrysostom give us the summary. God then took a rib from Adam's side to fashion a woman, so Christ has given us blood and water from his side to fashion the church. God took the rib when Adam was in a deep sleep, and in the same way, Christ gave us the blood and the water after his own death. What is it to be a Catholic? Do you understand then how Christ has united his bride to himself and what food he gives us all to eat? By one and the same food, we are brought into being and nourished, as a woman nourishes her child with her own blood and milk, so does Christ unceasingly nourish with his own blood those to whom he has given life. The sacraments, source of supernatural life, start where? With what is meant to be in God's plan, the source of natural life, marriage. Do you see how holy all of this is? It is no joke. These things Almighty God has joined together like a husband and a wife in his blood. But today you'll find them cast to the ground anymore and put asunder. They are sublimely sacred, though. They flow with his blood from his side. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.